Sweet. And we are live on the La U Times podcast. Welcome, everybody, to another edition. Lots to talk about. Got some friends to cover the team for today. Alfred in Nashville, Tennessee. What's up, brother?
Not much, man. Everything's good. Everything's Gucci.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Edgar, how we feeling, Double O Nation?
Doing good. Glad to be back with you guys, as always. Lots to talk about today.
And Dennis, what's up, bro? How you feeling?
They said we couldn't make it back, but we did. And by they, I mean me in my own body, because I'm coming off a little bit of a cold. But we're here, and yeah, it's good to be back. And feeling very positive today. A lot of positive things in the last week.
Hopefully a lot to do with Tigres. Alfred and I were just talking before we started recording. It just feels such an ease and no pressure at all, because it just feels like where we were a year ago, you know, going into the unknown and the unexpected as to what Liguilla may bring us. And here we are, an up and down season with our squad, and somehow managed to, you know, get into the Liguilla after many different funks throughout the season in different many ways. And here we are, Clásico Regio, ending up at the fifth spot in the standings. So, Alfred, thoughts on, you know, now that we've arrived into the Liguilla, about the team?
Well, you said it well. It feels a lot like last year. You know, last year we had the whole situation with Chima, with the person that we shall not name, and, you know, how that whole season went, and, you know, we somehow made it to the playoffs, and it seemed like, hey, you know, anything's possible, but if, you know, if we're, you know, we don't get anything out of it, it's okay. It's, you know, Siboldi's first attempt, you know, halfway through the season he came in, and boom, you know, we came out champions. And then this year, a little different, just, you know, all the obstacles, like you said, that we face, you know, with all the injuries and with the double tournament, with the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And, you know, it kind of seemed a few weeks ago that, you know, we were a little bit on the negative side, thinking, you know, we might not even make the playoffs, or we will be in play-in. It didn't look so bright, but now things are looking bright. If it weren't for better circumstances in the last Clásico, we probably would have landed on third place. And that would mean, you know, that obviously we would have a different rival in this quarterfinals. But anyways, you know, we're at where we're at, and Rayados are welcome. Whether we get them now or we get them later, we got to beat them. And I feel good. I feel that the team is confident. The last few games, we've definitely stepped up a notch, and offensively, at least, you know, we're demonstrating that we're ready. So hopefully, it all turns out well.
Absolutely. Edgar, we talk about, you know, the experience that Siboldi now has going into this Liguilla. Thoughts on the whole and how he handled the whole season with all the ups and downs and the roller coaster of ride that we had with, you know, injuries, management, CONCACAF elimination. This is, you know, a more experienced Siboldi, and, you know, especially with the squad and a lot of different things happening on the field with them, especially as of late.
I mean, overall, I think he had a really good performance in the manager's chair this season. My only complaint would be the way we handled the exit of CONCACAF. Again, just with the lineups that he provided and the decisions he was making around that time, he tried to show that he gave it priority, but it kind of fell through just management in that game. But again, I don't think that's a reflection of his whole overall season. I think he's definitely taken note of those mistakes, and he's made improvements the last couple of games. We are seeing that competitive, awake, and hungry Tigres that we're used to. So overall, I mean, as painful as that was, I think we're now officially a very strong contender to the league title this season.
Absolutely. Like we always have been for the last 15 years or so. And even at the beginning of the season, expectations were high, especially after coming from back-to-back appearances. Dennis, You know, Edgar talks about the last few games where Siboldi has, you know, had a different perspective of the team things with a lot more intensity. Let's go dive into the four-one victory against Necaxa as we ended our regular season.
Necaxa or Tijuana?
Tijuana.
I was about to say. Okay. Okay. I'm trying not to get super gassed up about a game against Tijuana at home because let's keep it real. They're the worst team in the league. They have the worst coach in the league. It's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. But I think that game has served as a reflection, and all the games since we lost to Columbus have served as a reflection of how well we've responded since that loss. Because it easily could have been like, hey, let's pack it up. Let's not even care too much about the league and let's just, you know, do whatever. But I really feel like there's been a positive sort of shift within the locker room over the last few games. And I thought Saturday's performance really exemplified that. Putting trust in the youngsters, in the wingers, especially with Marcelo and Lainez, who I thought were excellent again. I mean, Marcelo has been everything we could have wanted and more, I think, at this point in his young career. I don't know if any of us thought he'd be doing this so quickly, and yet it still kind of felt like it took a little bit to get to this point with him, but he was very impressive. Obviously, Guignac was very impressive. The Tercero Samir lineup is still somehow working, which is like an accomplishment in and of itself. But and Chuy Garza, who for somebody who really struggled when Siboldi first came on, I think his fortune has really changed this half season, and I've been really impressed by him. And I really hope that he kind of becomes a more regular, you know, part of the team. And again, I'm going to keep advocating for it. Move Aquino out to left back, put Garza in at right back, make Angulo on center back, and I think you're pretty good. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's going to happen this season, but Chuy has been incredible on both sides of the ball. His creativity has been great. He's actually not getting cooked defensively, which I've been really, you know, pleased about. So again, not trying to, you know, get super fired up about a game against a horrible side, but you want to have good momentum going into a Liguilla, especially against, you know, the neighbors. So anything that you can get from a, you know, positivity stance is a good thing. And I thought Saturday's performance really reflected that.
Absolutely. And the main, you know, we're finally seeing the, you know, the flashes of the offensive, you know, Diego Lainez had that ESPN top 10 highlight when he took on that pirouette. As he was stepping over the ball, he looked great. He looked in form. Alfred, you talked about like, or, you know, as a whole, we all talked about the possible inclusion of his presence in the lineup. What did you think about Diego Lainez? And, you know, for all of us who at one point questioned him and his ability to move forward, what are your overall thoughts on him? And then, you know, touch up a little bit on the Marcelo association.
Of course. Well, yeah, I mean, like we talked about last week, it was expected his return to the starting lineup. Same as with like Aquino, now that he's off his two-game suspension, even though Garza has been, you know, doing great and he's had a good last couple of games, we all know Aquino's going to come back to his rightful place in the lineup. And it was the same with Linus. I mean, he had demonstrated earlier in the season, I guess, you know, through much of the season where, you know, many of the players weren't finding their form, it was Linus who was showing up. And I think Siboldi respected that, respected his leadership, or at least, you know, he's been able to prove on the field that he deserves, you know, to be in that starting lineup. And I mean, he had a great game again. Maybe, you know, stats might not, you know, accompany him often with, you know, assistances or goals as often as with Marcelo does. He's got a magnet, you know, he's got a magnet for a goal or an assistance every game. But Linus, what he does, prior to or leading up to, you know, the last place, it's something that we want. We want a player that's going to be, you know, falling back and helping out the team defensively, and then creating opportunities or building up the play with the midfield, you know, to carry the ball forward. So he's been good. Marcelo's been great. Everybody's talking, you know, wonders of him. They're both young players. And I mean, like we said, this is a bright future. Hopefully during this Liguilla, they continue to show up. Knock on wood, we don't get any other injuries, unexpected injuries. And I think if they continue to play the way that they've played, they're gonna continue to show up and give us good results.
Absolutely. Someone's got to carry the torch into this Liguilla, and they might battle it out as to who may that be. Dennis, you know, Sebastian Cordova, Edgar prepared this layout for us today to talk about. And one of his things was, will Sebastian get more minutes in Liguilla? And we all wanted to say yes, and we all wanted it to happen. But it seems like he's going to be out a few weeks. Not sure the gravity of the injury, but it seems like at least the next few games, he's definitely going to be out.
Dude, it's so unfortunate because we have finally gotten to see a little bit of BCG, a tiny bit here and there, and that's been really nice. And also, he just continues to be impactful coming off the bench. I guess that he's not going to be, at least for the time being, he's not going to be the guy that carries us in this Liguilla run. So who's going to be the next Cordova? Who's going to be this year's Cordova? But man, it stinks. I would imagine. I mean, what did he hurt specifically? I saw that he's out, but I didn't see what exactly happened.
I think it's the back of his leg. He ruptured
Adductor, right? Is what it's called? An adductor?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tough. Yeah, it stinks, man, because obviously he's super important, and he's the kind of guy that you want to bring off your bench in high-stakes games, in any high-stakes games, but especially in a Liguilla and especially in a Clásico that's in Liguilla. So whether it's Marcelo, whether it's Lainez, whether it's Bruneta, which you would expect that out of Bruneta considering he's the starter, whether it's OCL, somebody has to step up now and fill in that, you know, that void that Sebastian's going to leave for the next few games at the very least.
Yeah. Bruneta had a goal this past game. Gignac had a goal this past game, which crazy how this man still like finds a way to find the back of the net. That Cardoso record seems a lot more feasible every game that passes by, especially as of late. I think he's elevated his form and his play, especially with the momentum that the team has picked up. I think he's done an incredible job where we've seen a lot of less minutes of Nico Ibañez as of late, and even, you know, coming on late and, you know, having some chances, was able to score. Confidence in terms of Liguilla, Alfred, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, that's the exact word, confidence. I think that Gignac, through his leadership, he demonstrated, you know, what this team needs, which is, you know, to be a team. You know, this isn't a one-person, you know, one-person battle, you know. And Gignac understands that. He understands that he's passing on the torch now, and that just like, you know, last year, you know, we had Cordova, who was pretty much the person that carried us, you know, through that entire Liguilla. I think Gignac is ready to give that torch to somebody else as well, you know, this year. And what he did, you know, giving not just the penalty to Bruneta for him to score, but also I would also say that the free kick that Cordova took, I mean, any other day, Gignac would have taken it as well. So he just shows that, you know, he wants his teammates to have confidence in themselves to, you know, be ready, be prepared, be strong for what's coming. I'm pretty sure if he would have seen Nico Ibañez on that one run that he had, he would have passed the ball to Nico Ibañez as well for him to score. Yeah. So, I mean, what a leader, man. What else is there to say about Gignac that we haven't already said? But, you know, every time he just shows us what a great person he is. And like we said, I mean, hopefully with this confidence that they're You know, they're able to gather in the last few games through goals, that they take it into the Liga and continue with that same effort.
Absolutely. And going into a Clásico Regio, I think the emotional aspect is going to have a lot to say, especially how we ended the season and the recent success we've had against them. So we open up the first leg at El Volcán, and then second leg at their house, meaning our house, that we've had a lot of recent success. Tigres finishing off just stronger than Rayados. Edgar, what are your expectations as we head into this Clásico Regio? Mariana, is he there? Oh, there he is.
So I think, yeah, the mic was muted and it was stuck. But to answer your question, I think opening at home is going to be a very strong advantage for us. I think that it'll set the tone for the second 90 minutes. And we already know what happens when we're playing over there. So I'm confident that Tigres is going to be dominating. If we look at the last month of both teams, Tigres was able to secure 7 out of 12 points. Rayados only secured 4. With, I would want to say, Tigres had the more complicated games.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the ultimately it's just going to come down to how hungry we are for this, you know, Clásico. I think, you know, this last Clásico that we had at their house where we tied 3-3 had obviously a lot of controversy. Nahuel Guzman incident, being suspended 11 games, but, you know, now 2 games less than which he's suspended, which is also pretty cool. Dennis, How are you feeling about the Clásico?
Confident. How could you not? Played well against them last time. Only tied because of, you know, shenanigans. And we've been in better form recently. And so I feel good. I feel like we're in a good spot. And I just feel like we have the mental edge in these types of games more than they do. You know, like, obviously they have, you know, good players on their side. I don't know, man. Like, something about us just turns up in Clásicos, and they just haven't displayed that. I'm sorry. You know, that's just me being as unbiased as possible. Rayados have not turned up mentally for these games in what feels like forever. So, even the game that they beat us, like, right before Siboldi got here, like, at home, like, it wasn't that great of a performance from them, and it was just a fluky little long shot goal from, I'm pretty sure. It was Luis Romo who scored the goal, which, like, that's fluky in itself all the time. So I don't know, man. Like, I'm not trying to be cocky, but, like, come on, man. Like, we're going to be fine. We're going to be totally fine. But we have to win on our home ground. We can't get out of there with a tie. Got to put the pressure on them early.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that their game that they have in Conca also might, you know, could have a positive or a negative effect on them. So whatever result that comes from that, I think Tigres has to figure out a way to take advantage no matter what at home, like you say.
Columbus, hear our cry, please.
Put the
pressure. Let's say that we lost to the eventual finalists and to a good team, to a good MLS team.
I don't know. I mean, anything can happen, but for sure, I'm with you guys. I think just not having the pressure that we were good consistently all season and, you know, we struggled towards the end. I think that we're going into the unknown with this team, and, you know, a lot of players have to step up. Bruneta, Nando, you know, Gignac, like always, but more so, you know, the young guys to continue their momentum and the back line, whoever it is at this point, because Pizarro is going to be out. Diego Reyes has been, like, on and off with injuries, which is crazy because he's not that old yet, but he's had so many. He's just been injury prone all his career. So Purata, who hasn't really convinced, and now we have Eduardo Tercero being the starter at center back with Samir Cayetano. man,
and doing good.
Yeah, and just the team just looks a lot more intense and a lot more, a lot more risky. Like whenever they're moving forward, like the passes are somewhat quicker. Like we're leaving spaces in the back, and I think that's just the new mentality that the team took on after the elimination in the Conca, where they have to step up and they have to fight for their championship. And I think that maybe, you know, as much as a squad that we have had over the last few years, Liguilla is our strength and we have to capitalize on that. And maybe running two seasons at a time is not in our best interest. Are we all interested in obviously winning both tournaments? Absolutely. But it hasn't been in our favor a lot recently. And it just seems like the players just understand, and the leadership that we still currently have is willing to fight for Liguilla. So I think it puts us in a great place to go into that unpredictable aspect of what Tigres can do this Liguilla. So excited, really excited about this Clásico Regio.
I think we're moving the ball quicker.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
On offense. Like, I really felt like when we've struggled in the middle part of the year, everything just felt so slow. So slow, especially from the midfield. It moves faster now. The passes are crisper. It's getting out into those spaces easier, a lot more like ping pong action. That helps, you know, because that creates more spaces and that allows guys like Linus and Marcelo to thrive, because they thrive off of space and taking guys one-on-one and being able to, you know, send balls in to the box. So.
Absolutely. How we feeling? Aquino comes back, and obviously Pizarro is not. What is the starting lineup heading, or more so the starting back line heading into the Liguilla? Alfred, what are you thinking?
So aside from Aquino, which, like I already mentioned, you know, he has to come back. I would leave everything the same. I know Dennis mentioned earlier, and he's mentioned it, you know, all the time, that he wants to see that back line. He wants to see Angulo there as a, but I think this is not the time to make a change. You know, if it were midway through the season, he does that change and it works out, or you know, they practice, you know, through that, then it would make sense. But right now, everything's working out the way it is. Hopefully, Tercero and Samir, they continue to give us good games. And I know that Reyes has had these injuries, but like last year, you know, he's kind of like Cordoba. He's a Liguilla man. And I think if he can come back, you know, he might be able to surprise us and give us another good end of a season. So I'm confident. I'm confident that with what we have, we can pull it off. I don't think Rayados is as complicated as they think they are, right? I mean, we showed it in the last Clásico, and it's going to depend a lot on the mentality, you know, and how confident or not they come, you know, to the game. Touching on Dennis's point, I would actually prefer for Rayados to beat Columbus, because, you know, they're going to be thinking all high and mighty of themselves. So if they somehow lose to Columbus, they're going to lose, you know, they don't want to be like the perro de las dos tortas, right? They don't want to lose the CONCACAF and then lose the Liga as well. So they might come out stronger if they lose against Columbus.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that has been quite impressive, though, because, you know, we touched about, when I asked you about the back line, Eduardo Tercero, in the past, he was used as a right back or a left back. He's familiar with the positions from other teams that he's played as a center back. Siboldi finally gives him the nod, and he's found a way to make a great pairing with Samir Cayetano. Do we expect him to finish out there as, you know, we enter Liguilla, or do we somehow feel like Diego Reyes comes back in the pick?
I do think Diego Reyes comes back if he's ready.
So I feel like he has a short leash either way.
But, you know, I mean, Diego Reyes has the experience. I mean, Eduardo Tercero, I'm not speaking bad of him. You know, he's given us the last good couple of games. But overall, you know, we can say that Reyes has the better career, has the more experience in these type of games.
So the depth chart at the center back position heading into Liguilla, Diego Reyes, Eduardo Tercero, and Purata, or switch the last two?
Yeah, I don't trust Purata anymore. I don't know. I mean, I think he's if he would have been the player that we needed, he would have been the one playing these last two games instead of Tercero. There's a reason why Ciboldi has not put him in the starting lineup.
That's crazy.
What we've seen from him, it's probably just a little bit of what Ciboldi and, you know, the team has seen of him during training. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Speaking of Ciboldi, we sure do have, for all of his flaws and weird decisions this year, we sure do have the coaching edge in this series by a pretty wide margin, I would say. Castano's not it at all, and we've seen that time and time again. So,
and I think recently it was brought up in a press conference. They asked him about his frequent eliminations in knockout rounds, and he got pretty defensive about it. But yeah, I don't think he's ever reached a final, or if I recall correctly, he's never reached a final.
The semis are where he gets stuck. It's interesting. Corrimos a Bucetich, and they brought this guy for improvements, and I feel like he really hasn't done what they needed to with that squad. I think they should be a lot better. I think one of the things that I do envy for them, I wish that we would have made a push for Gerardo Arteaga to sign him as a left back to compete with Angulo. And the familiarity of like playing alongside him under Ciboldi at Santos. So I think that we missed out on that, but that's probably about the only thing that I envy them. After that, you know, I'm fully confident in our squad. Anything else, fellas, about the Clásico Regio?
All I know is that series, assuming we win, I think sets us up really well for the next round. If I remember correctly, will we play América most likely in the semis?
If everything depends.
Yes, subject to play-ins, of course. And
who do you like in that Toluca Chivas series?
I think Toluca still takes it.
Toluca, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, so that means that would definitely be América Tigres.
Yeah, I just feel like having to play such a high intense, you know, series off the rip, I think sets us up really well for, you know, the rest of the way. Because last Liguilla, like we kind of like not eased into it, but it kind of came like a gradual like ramp up into that final with America, right? Where like the last time we won, which was this time a year ago, we played Rayados in that semifinal, and I think that set us up really well for that final against Chivas, because we had a lot of confidence and we were able to play in a really intense situation, and we're able to adapt to whatever got thrown at us in that Chivas series, especially in that second game. And we saw the results of that, obviously going down 2-0, and then look what happened at the end. So I don't know, I just feel like it's good for us to start at this level rather than this level now.
Yeah.
Looking at the standings, so America and Cruz Azul, they'll be facing, you know, whoever comes in through play-in, two teams that come in through play-in. So hypothetically, I mean, if the standings prevail, then I guess we would be facing America. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it has to be, if we're in the 4-5 matchup, then we have to play the 1-8.
Yeah, so then Cruz Azul would face Toluca.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are right.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point, Dennis. I definitely I like that idea of like just riding the momentum that this squad currently picked up, and with more form, with more, you know, especially this week of, you know, recovering some of the players, like, you know, Diego Lainez, who's coming from injury, continued to, like, you know, be on a treatment and training with the squad. It's going to help us continue to ride the momentum with our best players in the best form possible. Well, just got Felipe Rodriguez signed a contract extension. Good timing, bad timing, confidence-wise for him?
I think it is good timing. I'm not sure about the 2 years. Like, you know, we could have given him a 1 year just, you know, just to give him confidence going into the Liguilla. I don't think he's the solution long term. So it's doubtful that he'll be the one, you know, to carry the torch. I mean, obviously Nahuel staying, you know, he's not going anywhere, but you know, if Nahuel retires in the next 2-3 years, it's not gonna be Carlos Felipe, you know, replacing him or taking over his spot. So
do you think I feel like it was like a push made by his agent, because he's had great, anywhere between good and great performances at times for us this season. And, you know, Nahuel Guzman, I feel like it's insurance, you know, like he even does something, I don't know, points a laser at somebody. You never know. Like, you know, I feel like it was an insurance. So I totally agree with you. 1 year would have been ideal, but I think the agent pushed more for the 2 years, especially as late of his career, because he's now at an important club. So it's like, I walk away, probably be the starter somewhere else on a lower team and get paid, or stay at Tigres, but I want that security for me and my family. What do you think, Edgar? You good with the signing?
I mean, I think it was necessary, but I do agree with you guys. It's a little bit weird that it was 2 years. Probably, yeah, something with the agent. And yeah, I mean, just seeing that overall, he's done a very good job covering Nahuel. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did get a callback from Juarez or San Luis, maybe Puebla, trying to get him to sign for one of those lower clubs. But just seeing how the trajectory with the front office has usually been, I mean, even you look at, you compare it to when they offered Rafael Carioca a deal. They wanted to give him a 1 year deal with a 1 year subject to terms and conditions offer. And this guy gets 2 years right out of the box. It is kind of, it's an interesting offer.
Yeah, good point.
And I don't agree with you, Arnoldo. I don't think he's had such a good season, or at least the last few games. I can probably count at least 4 goals in the last 4 games that were thanks to him, you know, that he contributed to or gave away. I know to Pachuca, he had a couple. Rayados, he definitely helped with at least one of them, if not two. And then, you know, he's also given away goals versus Necaxa and versus Tijuana. So, like you said, you know, maybe it's for confidence, and hopefully this helps him, you know, mentally be a little bit stronger for the Liguilla, because we can't have him having these screw-ups in important moments in important games.
Yeah, I feel that. I think he did a good job in terms of, like, being – I don't think we could have found a better backup just because what Nahuel gives us so much. But, yeah, I definitely see your point. We'll see. Hopefully it works out in our favor as we get into that Clásico Regio. Anything else, fellas, about the men's squad before we head on to talk about the women's team?
Shout out the Earth Day kits. Fantastic debut.
Absolutely.
I'm getting mine tomorrow, so
nice.
Just in time for Cinco de Mayo.
Nice.
Yeah, they have. What's the that? Green.
Now you guys go ahead.
I was going to say they were pretty limited when I checked this past weekend. So I don't know if I'll get the restock option. I had to convince myself, and I was down for the khaki after I saw them play with it.
Yeah, it definitely it looked a lot better on the field. Like once you saw them playing with it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was also the fact that they, you know, they won 4-1. Maybe if they would have, if they would have lost, you know, nobody would have liked the uniform.
The femenil ones, though, fantastic on and off the field. Great.
Yeah, I think our squad definitely looked fantastic in those jerseys. It's just like what I said last week. I'm just a big, I'm down for the initiative of releasing more special jerseys, and hopefully Adidas doesn't do us wrong and we continue to having good jerseys.
Yeah, let's hope we get another Hispanic Heritage one more available to the fans this time.
Yeah, that would be so awesome. And I feel like they're gonna they have to capitalize on that, bro. Like we have so many fans in Texas.
Didn't Lou and Dennis get those shirts?
Yeah, and so did I. I got a medium, bro.
You got one too?
I got a medium.
Yeah, Arnoldo got a medium. When this guy definitely does not wear a medium.
Great. Thanks for the medium.
It's motivation, man. Motivation for you to hit the gym.
Dang.
This guy got none, so.
Yeah, I ended up giving it to my sister, so my sister's definitely rocking it. We'll see. Amazonas Dennis, not sure you were able to catch some of the games, the recent games, both victories, obviously, by the femenil team. First one against Juarez. Juarez, where Ovalle was able to get her 100th goal for the club.
Finally.
She took a while, especially, you know, she got there so quickly, and then she went on that long hiatus of not scoring and long drought of no goals. How are we feeling about Jackie Ovalle hitting the century mark?
It's amazing to have two, because Mayor's hit 102, right? Yeah, so to have two gals on the same team who have hit 100 with the club, and Allison also has like over 100 goals in her career. Like, that's just an insane amount of goal share between those three. And I'm sure Jenny has a ton as well that I'm not even thinking of and throughout her career. So it's awesome. It's well-deserved. I didn't get to watch much of that game. I did catch some highlights, but I did get to watch last night's game, and I was very pleased with Thembi. I've been waiting for a Thembi like masterclass ever since the beginning of the season, when she kind of showed us that she was really good. Kind of went on like a stretch where she like wasn't as impactful. Last night, though, incredible. Like, two goals, both really well worked. I miss seeing her her celebration big time. So shout out to her.
Yeah. Talk about someone that has to step up in this last part of the season. I feel like, you know, like you said, she started off on a high note and she was just chilling midway through the season. But also, you know, she had a national team duty. She was, you know, out a few games. And then obviously the flights, the training, so, you know, and the deep squad that Tigres Feminine has. So that first goal was incredible, though, in that second game against Necaxa. Edgar.
Mayor's touch, that's what made it special. I mean.
Yeah. Ooh.
Dude, and before that, like the switch of field by Belen Cruz. Belen Cruz has such a great touch on the ball. Like Lou's been mentioning it in the past. I hope she makes a transition and she, you know, adapts her game more to play, you know, towards the middle, especially in her later career. You know, she's played as a winger for us, an attacking mid, as an eight, you know, as a left winger. You know, she's just been all over the place offensively. And she just has great touch. So shout out to her. Mayor, obviously, amazing touch. And then Thembi to finish and start the play on that side, that give and go. Edgar, last couple games of the season, what are you thinking we're going to end up in the standings? We got Pachuca, and we're basically fighting for the number one seed.
Yeah, so I think they're definitely beatable. I think La Ley del Ex will come and play. Jenny Hermoso goes back to the club that brought her to Mexico. I think we're in a really good position to secure those 3 points. I know that, or at least just my opinion, not the Necaxa game, but the two games before, a tiny bit of a slump compared to what we're used to from the Amazonas, but it seems like that hurdle's done and over with. So I could see us securing the first seed.
Do we know they can get that back?
That was going to say, I feel like Hester, it relies on our defense. And with her out, it's just, yeah. She's just
because Pachuca has Charlyn Corral, who I think is the lead scorer. So.
And then they got Catalina Uzme, the Colombian attacker. She's really good, got great touch on the ball. Nancy Antonio had a good game. I was honestly surprised that she played. She knows the position, obviously. She started at the center defensive mid for a long time, but just surprised that she started. She's probably one of the her and Elizondo probably have gotten the least amount of minutes this season as far as on the more veteran side of players.
We've also got Bianca Sierra back, so hopefully that contributes a little bit.
Yeah. Leadership, for sure.
It was cool to see her back last night. I didn't think she was going to be back this season, so it's really cool.
Yeah, ACL injury, pregnancy, and then finally making a return. That's impressive. A lot of patience for sure, and mental strength to get over those hurdles to come back from something like that. And I think she's going to provide great leadership in the locker room. Obviously we know the team gets along very well. Though having someone like her where she knows that she can be someone inspirational and motivating to other players, especially the younger players, as they make this run once again. So it'll be interesting. If we do lock in that place against Pachuca, I think, the top teams are definitely going to fight for it, but Tigres Femenil obviously having the edge with experience and a deep squad that Mila Martinez, even though she's had a couple of bad games to end the season, she's still rotating and shifting players and giving players chances.
She brought Montoya in for this game, which I expected a lot more from her. But
she was on the left side, though.
That's what I was going to say. She was on the wrong side. But at the same time, it's also maybe confidence. I mean, just hasn't had enough minutes throughout the season, and it shows. And obviously, she's coming in to try to take the spot of Armaga Ovalle, and you can't top what Ovalle does. So tough spot to be in for her. And then Thembi, obviously on the right side, was also a fantastic player. So but it was good to see her at least on the field, see that they're still considering her.
Yeah, Mercado was available that game. So just deep, like we talked about all season, but now they got to step up, finish this last game, and get that chemistry going, get our players back to full health. I'm not sure how long Greta Espinosa will be out, but she's been battling injuries all season. And this is the same injury she brought over from the Selección, no?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Anika, too. She's also been dealing with stuff as well.
So definitely need them, even though we have a deep squad. We need all our players available, especially with the calendar that Tigres Femenil has had over the last 6 years.
And is about to have this summer.
Yeah, with the Summer Cup. Absolutely. You're right.
I did also just check the league table. I don't know why I thought Rayadas were in second, but they're not. So a draw this weekend gets Las Amazonas to secure the first spot. Pachuca's in second.
Perfect.
What are we thinking? Do you think we end the season on a high note?
Yeah, I feel like we need to go with the best 11 possible on this game versus Pachuca, and then get the first seed taken care of, and then that last game, who we play, who exactly?
Pachuca.
That's it? That's the only game?
Yeah.
I thought we had another game. Never mind. Just bring out all the guns and let's start to build some chemistry before the year. So,
predictions, Edgar? What are you thinking? Give me the score.
I'm going to go with a 2-1. I think Jenny scores. The other one could be anybody. Just with the great form we have a lot of players in right now.
Alfred, what are you thinking?
I like the femenil high-scoring games. And a lot of times when two of these, you know, strong squads meet up, it could go either way. They could either, you know, tie themselves up in the middle and have low-scoring games or have high-scoring games. So I'm going to go with 4-2 for Tigres Femenil.
Oof. I'm going 3-2. I think we give up some goals in the back. But ultimately, we bring out the victory and get the first seed heading into Liguilla. Well, fellas, any more on Tigres Femenil? Sweet. Last part of the pod, guys. From the vault, Edgar, what happened today? What'd you come across?
On this day in 2022, Tigres tied against Atlas 1-1. And I mean, it was just weird seeing the lineup for that game.
What was it?
So Nico Lopez was the goal scorer for that match. And on that roster, in that starting 11, we had Hugo Ayala, Jesús Dueñas, and a not-so-favorite friend, Champion du Monde, was still on the roster.
Why not so favorite?
just because of how he left. The aftermath of that.
Dude got paid. And still trying to get paid more.
I still put the blame on Coca. So everything bad that happened, it's Coca. It's all his fault.
Was that Piojo times, Edgar, 2022?
That's right. Piojo Herrera was the head coach at the time.
He was doing Uayala wrong. He wasn't even playing him, which not that I necessarily mind. Obviously, age, you know, comes around, but he wasn't playing him at all. And then when he played, we looked good on defense.
No doubt. Bittersweet times.
Yeah, man, we should have won that. We would have gotten good momentum going in after that, coming back from that Atlas game too in the semis. That run, we missed out on that cup.
Which ultimately, I think, what was it? Was that the one where we had the lineup?
Yeah.
With the extra foreigner player and
not that game, but yeah, that season. Yeah,
it was that season, right?
Yeah.
Versus Atlas too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple months later, we were old.
Right. And then a lot more months after that, this man gets fired again.
Oh, did you guys hear that chant he received this weekend?
Yeah.
Es el son los viejitos de Tigres. Loved it.
Yeah.
He only said what's up to like five players. Obviously, we had a lot of young players or new additions, and a lot of our players have been out, but no Carioca saludo.
Of course not.
Dude, this man picked, I saw a video, this man picked Carioca over Edson Álvarez of the players that he's coached. And I was like, dude, like that's just.
He had him benched most of the time. Like,
yeah.
I think the seasons that he's had least minutes were those seasons with Piojo.
And now he's the captain and the guy that steers our ship every time.
Yeah, it's just crazy how he had us convinced that his time was up, that he had nothing more to contribute.
Well, Luku doesn't have a job now.
And I don't think he'll have one for pretty a while. Sure.
At least in the coaching world, he can go yap it up on television.
Maybe somebody in MLS will pick him up.
Oh, dude. Gosh, please. Please.
San Diego with Chucky Lozano.
Oh, my gosh. And Memo, bro.
FC Dallas. FC Dallas.
Yeah, dude. Oh, no, FC Dallas could use a coach because the current one sucks.
Oh, you would take Piojo then?
I mean, I'm not an FC Dallas fan, but it would be pretty funny to see him here.
Dude, I'm telling you. Call it right now. He's going to go to the San Diego.
Oh, gosh.
That'd be interesting.
Dude, half of that team's going to be Mexican national team players, isn't it? Like, surely.
My dude is just going to drive up, like, you know, an hour down up north.
Unserious team.
Yeah, that puts all the rumors to an end about Chucky Lozano. I can't believe, like, I haven't seen Tigres, like, bring a player that we've been rumored to sign. So I never believed the Chucky hype.
And I mean, Brunetta was highly rumored.
But that was Liguilla time, though. That was Liguilla, right as Liguilla was kicking off. It wasn't like, you know, 5 weeks before the season ended, and we're talking about getting Rafael Varane and Chucky Lozano. Absolutely not. That's not how
I'm in on this Varane rumor, though. Give me that.
No. Yeah, I mean, I'd be up for it, but as long as they come from, you know, Guantes de Ciboldi or accounts like that, they probably have no validity at all.
I don't want Martial or
I saw somebody tweet out the French Diego Reyes.
I saw that.
Was that you?
Yeah, he looks like, I mean, when Diego Reyes started playing, I was like, wait a minute, that looks like Varane. And I've always thought that they were kind of like doppelganger. How do you say that?
Yeah, doppelgangers. Yeah. No, absolutely not. No, thank you. I think I write it out with Samir instead.
And Edward III. I mean, you can't bench him now.
Sir Edward III.
Sir Edward.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. I think let's get it. Let's believe, like Ted Lasso would say.
Hey, actually, I want to bring up something that I saw. And it came first from a tweet about, I think it was about Inter Valencia's interview with Sobis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned something about a player or, you know, former players of a Brazilian team, you know, not showing up to the stadium to watch the games or whatever, things like that. And then somebody tweeted about, you know, which Tigres, former Tigres players, you know, come to watch the games, you know, and a few names, you know, came out like as the usuals, you know, Pastor Lozano, Palmera Rivas that, you know, come watch the games. But I just saw maybe an hour ago, Sixto Peralta. He tweeted out that he's coming. He's coming to the Clásico. So good memories. Yeah. Mumo Peralta from back in the day when he was playing with Gaitán, with Cimera, with Irene Suarez. So
he played at some English side before he came over to Santos. I can't remember what English side he played on, but he was good.
Yeah.
And he would play in that like mixto role of you know, a eight in the midfield and like alongside like a Carioca. Oof, man, he was so good. I really enjoyed him as a player, and he was like not very talked about. He was good at Santos, but you know, he was coming off the bench when he first landed at Tigres, so I didn't really know much of him. But then little by little, you started seeing that magic with Gaitán in the midfield come to fruition. So, dang, good stuff. I thought you were going to mention the interview of Ener Valencia and
Well, I haven't found one with the subtitles. I mean, my Portuguese is good, but not that good.
Was Ener Valencia speaking like good Portuguese?
Well, I mean, I saw the beginning. He was answering in Spanish, so like he was. Oh. Yeah. So I guess, you know, he kind of understands, you know, Sobis a lot better. I mean, obviously he's an international player. I'm sure he's been around a lot of Portuguese speaking players. But it's just kind of hard to follow along when you don't have those subtitles, making sure everything's clear.
Yeah, I wonder how much they talked about Tigres.
I've only seen a couple of, you know, a couple of inserts, a couple of pointers about Tigres.
If anybody knows, give us the scoop. If somebody understands Portuguese or has found the captions for it.
Right. Got a caller from Woods.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to have to hit him up. Because I'm really interested because I want to know how that came about and, you know, hanging out and talking about it. And I'm sure they talked about Tigres. And I'm curious to see what Ener Valencia has to say. You know, we heard Rafael Sobis just talk wonders about Tigres and Gignac and the partnership that he had there, about him not wanting to leave. And so I'm curious as to Ener Valencia, because that whole span that he had no goals and then, you know, left, you know, basically ran out of here because he wasn't performing as much. And I feel like we got everything. We probably could have had a little bit more out of him, but
we got our money's worth.
Yeah, we got our money's worth. He contributed. I think just
that one goal in the final regia was worth it.
Yeah, and the scoring title and just giving Tigres that help and that push with like international signings and like, dude, we were just spectacular with the amount of signings that we had. We had nearly 14 national or possible national team players from all nations and included the Mexican national team. So gotta check that out. I'm curious.
I wish Ener would have stayed 6 months and been on the squad that won the CONCACAF. It would have been cool to see him play the Club World Cup.
Yeah, definitely seeing what he was able to accomplish after in Fenerbahce and now Brazil. I think he had a lot more to give.
Yeah, he had a resurgence.
Yeah, great World Cup.
Yes.
Captain, if I recall.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like he was just, man, it's just that, it's that whole, going back to that whole thing with Gignac. It's like it's not something, like, if you're a really a fan of the game, you understand that it's not intended that way, but he's definitely gotten in the way of other players possibly having a better stint at Tigres, but you can't bench him and you have to continue to play.
That's not Gignac's
fault. No, absolutely not. That's what I'm saying. Like, but people do blame him, who you bring, Nico Ibañez, he's not going to play, Ener Valencia, Tiene Edu Vargas, Charlie Gonzalez,
Nico López.
But Gignac still figures out a way to be productive and get involved with the development of offensive punch that Tigres has.
All I'm saying is Valencia would have been more useful than Charlie was in the Club World Cup games, because that brother was a ghost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that specific game, he didn't do that bad, but I remember he was quite awful for us.
Cool. Well, fellas, I think that's about wraps it up for us tonight. Thanks for taking the time to record another episode. And thank you for everybody who watched, who shared. We'll be live on the pod on Apple and Spotify tomorrow. So if you didn't catch it live, you'll have the chance to listen there. Guys, any last words before we take off?
Van Dijk is coming to Tigres. That's all I'm saying. The Liverpool fallout is happening now, and he's going to come with Salah.
Make the B-dubs call.
I don't think it's time to talk about signings right now. We got to...
Not sure. We got to go stick it to Sergio Calambres.
Next week, you can go more in-depth on what's to come, what's expected of that game.
Yeah, and all the news coming out of it.
I'll just say the recasting of Quiñones has already started, but do not listen to any rumors because none of them are going to be accurate.
If we don't get Marcelo and Lainez on the wings in the first game, I'm going to riot.
I think that's happening, bro. I don't think you're going to have to be worried about that. Yeah. You know who's also not worried? All the carnicerías in Monterrey.
Ramos, San Juan.
Dude, these guys are about to make some bank.
Popos Tacos by the stadium.
Nuevo León's about to be super cloudy, not from marijuanas, but from carne asadas.
All the grills up and running.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you, fellas. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Ciao for now. Follow us on X and Insta.
See ya.
Take care, guys.